wanted to concentrate on the second lesson today. Lots of times in former days, I said the Apostle Paul wrote it, but probably not. It was probably one of Peter's disciples. And that whole circumcision, uncircumcision thing is basically the problem was, since the time of Abraham, Jewish males needed to be circumcised. It was a mark of being a Jew, God's chosen people. Okay? And all of a sudden, here comes Jesus, and the missionaries have gone out and they're inviting non-Jewish people to be part of the church, to be followers of Jesus. So the Jewish men, the leaders, thought this meant that all people coming into Christ's church should be circumcised too. Well, you can imagine there was a certain objection to this whole thing, especially from thousands of adult males who had never even heard of this before. So this whole thing turned into a big battle. And if you recall, there's a wonderful scripture in the book of Acts that describes how Peter, the light went on in the Apostle Peter's head, and he said, "Ah, they don't have to do this after all. We're all one in Christ," which seems like a no-brainer to us. But back then, it was a big deal. Because remember, Jesus was Jewish. His family was Jewish. His friends were Jewish. His culture was Jewish. And all of a sudden, he's doing something different. And if anybody wanted to follow him, they had to become different. And they got kicked out of their families, their tribes. They were persecuted. And so you had a lot to lose by becoming a follower of Christ. First of all, we like, did anybody grow up here in Sussex County? Well, Sussex, Kent, are there any? I bow to you, to the people who have held the fort all this time. Well, it'd be like all of a sudden if you had to move to Afghanistan and leave everything you knew behind if you were going to follow Christ. A big sacrifice, right? Well, anyway, there was all of this who's in, who's out stuff going on in the early church. But the author of this wonderful letter says, but we have, some of you were far off, which is a metaphor for meaning not part of the flock. And some of you were near, which is the other metaphor meaning the in crowd. But there's no longer any far, any near. Christ has, through his blood, has made you all one. And made you into a temple. Right? A temple where God can dwell. Think about that. All of us here today, spiritually speaking, are part of a temple where God dwells. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Excellent. It's a hard thing to believe sometimes, isn't it? Well, look around. Look around our world. Do you see any temple? Do you see any temple? We see a lot of churches, but they're not necessarily temples, are they? Pardon? Yep. So we have to be the temple, my friends, and by what we do is what shows the temple of Christ to the world. Every single one of us, in every circumstance. You don't have to be a big mouth preacher standing up in front of people. You don't have to be an evangelist going door to door. But don't forget, your coworkers are watching, aren't they? And what do they see? Do they see a personal integrity? The fact that you tell the truth? The fact that you say, "I'm sorry" when you're wrong, all of those little things are huge in the temple of God. They're huge. And they change other people. They do. So, today I wanted to concentrate on one of our tasks. If we're all in one in Christ, we just stood up here and admitted that we have all sinned, did we not? Okay. Are there any young friends who'd like to come up and help me? Come on up. Excellent. You want to come on up? You don't have to if you don't want to. Okay. Good. And I'm hoping Gary will help me too, because Gary's got a guitar. And you can unplug that, Gary. Oh, wait a minute. That came out wrong. Or whatever works. I'm sorry. What's your name? Ivy. Hi, Ivy. How are you? Okay. Pick a duck. I don't care which one. Okay. Now, if you were going to play an instrument, let's say a saxophone, how would you play it? Have you ever seen a saxophone? It's one of the curvy ones like this, right? You need two hands, don't you? Okay. Here, give me the duck for a second. Pretend you're playing the saxophone. I'll be with you. Okay, we're playing the sax. We're wailing, right? All right, that's good. Now she gets the duck. The duck is sin, by the way. I'm not saying you're a big sinner. We're just giving them a lesson, okay? The duck is sin. Now try to play that saxophone. Huh. Not so easy. How about you, Gary? How about making beautiful music?
A lot of those ducks for me.
It's such a nice looking little sin, isn't it? So innocuous, it doesn't look like it could hurt a thing, except it keeps us from playing beautiful music together, doesn't it? Right. Because when we're hanging on to that sin, we're not able to show the temple of Jesus to everyone around us. So, anybody else want to hold a duck? How about you? You want to hold a duck? Here. You can sit in the seat, but you can have this duck, okay? All right, I'm going to teach you a song that goes with this. It's called Put Down the Ducky. This is one side and this is the other side. And this is for kids. Have you ever heard Put Down the Ducky? It's a Bert and Ernie song. Okay. It goes like this. You want to put down the ducky. Put down the ducky. You want to put down the ducky. You want to leave that duck alone. And the other part of the verse is, of course, if you want to play the saxophone. So let's sing Put Down the Ducky. You want to put down the ducky. Put down the ducky. You want to put down the ducky. If you want to play the saxophone, you got to leave that duck alone. Okay? Thank you. Here, which one do you want? All right. Thank you, Gary. Here, you get a duck. You get a duck.